Most of you don't really believe that God wants to give you the kind of happiness that you imagine.
Do you want to be happy today? The Bible says that a happy person finds wisdom and gets understanding. But it warns us that wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Elizabeth Elliot has spent decades helping women understand the wisdom of the Bible. Welcome to Gateway to Joy.
The Lord Jesus said, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you again today about confidence in God. I closed yesterday's program with an old prayer: "Teach us to love what thou commandest and to desire what thou dost promise." Now, how shall we learn to love what God commands and to desire what he promises? We must have confidence in his fatherly love. Do you fear what God commands? Do you desire what he promises, or do you not desire it? Are you afraid that somehow God is going to do you in? Remember that God will never do anything to you that is not for you, because his purpose is your fulfillment and your bliss. The world is always talking about finding fulfillment. Where shall we look? To God himself. Put your confidence in him. He is my Father, he loves me, and I'm his child. Suppose you want to learn scuba diving. You're going to find an instructor, and it's not going to be hard to love what your scuba diving instructor commands. Why? Well, because you already desire what he promises. Does that make sense? You want to learn scuba diving. This man promises you that he can teach you how to scuba dive. And so when you get out there in the ocean, and we watch scuba divers in the ocean in front of our house quite often, and sometimes there are classes out there, and we see the instructor out in the water with them, hollering and telling them what to do, and then we see three or four people do the same thing all at the same time, assuming that they are loving what the scuba diving instructor is commanding, because they desire what he promises. They want to learn. Well, that makes sense, doesn't it? If you want what you're willing to pay money to get, you're going to listen carefully to what the man tells you to do. You're going to obey implicitly, and you're even going to learn to love it. Why? Well, because you want what they're promising. Let's take a diet program. How many diet programs are there for which you have to pay money? You know, it beats me how people can want to pay money to have somebody tell them not to eat so much, or to have somebody tell them what to eat. You don't need to pay money to find out what to eat. In almost every magazine, you can find a diet, or you can go to the library, or you can ask your doctor. And of course, you're paying money for the magazine, you're paying money for the doctor, but you know what I mean. You don't have to pay $100 and go to classes and go through all that kind of thing. Anyway, if that's what you want to do, and you think, "I can't do it by myself," then surely you're going to listen carefully to the person you've paid. You are going to do what they tell you to do, because you don't want to lose your money for nothing. And perhaps you're even going to learn to love it. You want what they're promising. They're telling you, you can lose 10 pounds in a month. Well, what does God promise? Joy, the very best, better than the world can give. Do you have that confidence in him? Do you really believe that? Well, no, probably most of you don't. Most of you don't really believe that God wants to give you the kind of happiness that you imagine. Very possibly the kind of happiness that you imagine would turn out to be a bitter lemon. And God says no to your prayers for that particular kind of happiness, because God has something else for you, something which ultimately will be even better. I get so many letters from single people, earnestly desiring marriage. If you want marriage, you present your request to God and place your confidence in Him that He will give you that gift in His time and in His own way. But it might not be the best for you, and only God knows that. Are you like Eve, convinced that God is trying to cheat you? You remember that God forbade the eating of the fruit of one tree in the garden, only one. All the rest of them, Adam and Eve, were told that they could enjoy. But this particular one, God had not created man and woman to bear that kind of a burden, the burden of the knowledge of good and evil. They weren't constructed for that. And so He said, don't touch it, just as a loving mother says to her little son, don't play in the street. Don't play with broken glass. Not because she hates him, not because she's trying to cheat him of something that would make him happy, but because she's trying to preserve him from what will destroy him. If you really have confidence in God, you will take any risk in obedience to God, knowing that God's purpose is not ultimately to destroy you, but to fulfill you. Now, of course, we have to consider the big question of evil. Evil is permitted. It is permitted by an all-powerful, and never forget this, an all-loving God. Even though evil is permitted, we are bound to combat it. We are not to accept it with resignation if it's the kind that can be defeated. Now, the evil of death, which we're told is the last enemy that shall be destroyed, we cannot combat once it's happened. I'm speaking to you widows and widowers, you bereaved parents, you grieving friends who have lost someone. You must accept that with resignation to the will of God. We can't bring that person back out of the grave. I just want to make it very clear today that the Bible teaches us that we are to combat evil, that we are to pray against it, that we are to work tirelessly against it. You who are working against abortion, I applaud you, I pray for you, I thank God for you. All other evils that we have any power at all to work against, we need to do. You've often heard me talk about acceptance of what cannot be changed or cannot be changed today. And there are situations in which most of us find ourselves that God ultimately intends to change, but He's not going to change it today. Maybe you need another place to live. Maybe today is not the day that God is going to show you that. I think of the old words to God Save the Queen. I don't know whether the English people still sing this stanza or not, but it always amuses me. Confound their politics and frustrate their knavish tricks. This is England praying against its enemies and for its king or queen. Confound their politics, frustrate their knavish tricks. And we certainly feel that way about our enemies too, our personal enemies. We wish that the Lord would frustrate their knavish tricks. Someone may ask the question, if God brings good out of evil, then isn't it wrong for me to work against it, since there is going to be good come out of it? The answer is, that's absolutely a mistake. We are to work against it, even though God ultimately can bring good out of it, if there's any way in which we can work against it. Now let's take, for example, the crucifixion. Jesus was put into the hands of evil men. It is a wickedness that they captured Him and flogged Him and stripped Him and nailed Him to a cross. There was nothing intrinsically good in the action of those evil men. It was all intrinsically bad, bad in itself. Yet, and here's the marvel and the mystery, it was taken into God's power and purpose and transfigured for the salvation of the world. Is there something about which you are saying today, there is no way that God can ever bring good out of this? Look at the crucifixion. take that thing to the foot of the cross and remember what happened when Jesus was nailed to a cross. It was wrong. It was evil. And I want to read to you from Matthew 26, verse 24. The Son of Man will go, Jesus says, just as it is written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born. Jesus is speaking to his disciples about what is coming. He knows that he is going to die. And he says, the Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born. Why is evil allowed? God's original design was man's freedom. We must trust the validity of his promise, no matter how things look. When I was preparing this talk, I received a phone call from my sister-in-law and from another friend, both of them in pain, both of them facing perhaps major surgery. One of them had to go into the hospital and was there for quite a long time, and she told me that her little boy, Daniel, said, please come home, Mama. Well, was there anything that that Mama would rather do than be well enough to leave the hospital and go home? There's a situation where we must simply trust. We must leave it with God. His original design was our freedom. His ultimate purpose is our fulfillment. We must trust him no matter how things look. Place your confidence totally in God.
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. And ladies, we can also establish a solid foundation for our lives through daily Bible reading and prayer. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your Gateway to Joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.